Married at First Sight. Chapter 4027. Zachary explained to Tatum that the scheming old man, Labby, was trying to seize the Ormond family's property and claim it as his own. Labby lacked any legitimate inheritance rights within his family, no recognition as the family head, no tokens, no totems. Just ambition and greed. "Brother," Tatum said, "I don't have any clever advice for you. Like Big Brother said, we trust Grandma. As long as you follow her instructions, you won't come out on the losing end. We're past the age of being disciplined by Grandma only to end up worse off. Growing up, they'd frequently find themselves at a loss after being corrected by their grandparents, who would scold them for lacking the skills, planning, or insight needed to make things work. It was a harsh lesson in humility." Tatum added, "I'll grab a few more hours of sleep before I get up to work out and make breakfast for Elora." Evan nodded. "All right. Get some rest, but don't overdo it." Tatum smiled. "I'm not overworked. I enjoy this." Evan chuckled. "As long as you're in the kitchen, you wouldn't care if the sky came crashing down." Evan couldn't help but envy Tatum's passion. He was doing what he loved, cooking and deepening his bond with his fiancée in the process. After their chat, Evan lay back on his bed, staring at the ceiling for a while. Eventually, he set his phone on the nightstand, turned off the lights, and drifted off to sleep, knowing tomorrow would bring new challenges. The rest of the night passed quietly. The next morning, Tatum, now in Annenberg, Province X, started his day with a jog in the Ormond family's sprawling yard. Elora and Alonzo were typically the earliest risers in the household, though Alonzo always needed a push from Elora to get out of bed. Like most kids, he hated waking up early for school but had no problem springing out of bed on weekends. Tatum kept his routine simple: 2 laps around the yard, enough to stay active but not overexert himself. He wore his winter workout gear, jogging solo through the chilly morning air. Occasionally, he'd cross paths with other members of the Ormond family's staff. They'd greet him with warmth and curiosity. "Morning, Tatum. The weather's freezing, and you're still out here running every day? Aren't you Southerners supposed to hate the cold?" Tatum laughed it off. "Running keeps me warm. I barely feel the cold." This morning was no different. After exchanging a few words with the staff, Tatum resumed his jog, undeterred by the biting wind. The Ormond household staff typically began work at 6 in the morning and didn't finish until 10 at night. Some positions required rotating shifts, ensuring the household ran smoothly around the clock. Once Tatum finished his run, he headed to the kitchen to prepare breakfast for Elora and Alonzo. Breakfasts were usually simple, so Tatum could wrap them up quickly. Cooking for Elora was his personal responsibility as her private chef, a role he took seriously. Other household members had their own routines and often slept in, but Tatum didn't mind. While he wasn't obligated to cook for anyone else, he would sometimes cater to their requests, especially if Elora wasn't home for dinner. It was his way of earning goodwill within the family. As Tatum jogged back toward the house, he heard the faint sound of footsteps behind him. Curious, he stopped and turned. No surprises, it was Elora. After several months in the Ormond household, Tatum had memorized her schedule. He knew her daily routine better than anyone, which was why he kept up his early morning jogs. Opportunities to spend time with Elora were rare. Her busy schedule meant she left early and returned late most days. Dinner was often their only shared moment, but she never lingered long. After eating, she'd take a short break before diving back into her work. And so, Tatum continued his quiet efforts to connect with her, one meal and one morning jog at a time. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4028. Chapter 4028. Mornings were the only time Tatum could enjoy a peaceful conversation with Elora without disrupting her hectic schedule. He cherished these moments, especially during their morning jogs. Luckily, Tatum was already used to early runs from his days in Wiltspoon. "Good morning, miss," Tatum greeted with a warm smile as Elora approached. Elora, slightly winded from her run, slowed down and smiled back. Good morning. Since discovering that Tatum was the sixth young master of the prestigious York family in Wiltspoon, Elora's respect for him had deepened. Though she had already thought highly of him, his humility and determination impressed her even more. She admired how he had set aside his privileged background to master his craft as a chef. His journey overcoming challenges, honing his skills, and ultimately earning his place as her private chef had left a lasting impression on her. Whenever Tatum wasn't busy cooking, Elora treated him more like a friend than an employee. As they strolled side by side, they fell into a casual conversation. The company must be keeping you busy now that the new year's underway, Tatum remarked with genuine concern. You got home pretty late last night. Elora nodded. It's always busy, but the post-holiday period is a whole new level of chaos. People like me wish we could stretch a single minute into 10. She glanced at him, her tone softening. I hear you go to bed early every night. Your schedule seems so disciplined. That's great, keep it up. These days, with everyone glued to their phones, it's rare to find someone who doesn't spend hours scrolling in bed before sleeping. Tatum chuckled. I try to keep a regular routine. Staying healthy is important. How old are you again? Elora teased lightly. Talking like that makes you sound like an old man. We're the same age, aren't we? Tatum nodded. Yes, we're the same age. But healthy habits need to start early. People think they can get away with staying up late because they're young, but that mindset takes a toll. Over time, it catches up. Many illnesses today are affecting younger people because they've been neglecting their health for too long. Staying up late and overworking your body eventually leads to trouble. Elora listened thoughtfully, finding truth in his words. You shouldn't push yourself too hard, miss, Tatum added, his tone full of care. Why not sleep in a little, wake up at 7:30 instead? Or maybe make it home by 11 p.m. and try to be in bed before midnight. Especially for women, staying up late isn't great for your skin. You'll end up spending a fortune on skincare just to make up for it. Elora fell silent for a moment, reflecting on his advice. Finally, she sighed. You're right, but it's easier said than done. Ever since I took over the family business, this has been my lifestyle. It's hard to change. If I take more time to rest, the work just piles up. Thankfully, my cousins are stepping up and taking on more responsibilities now. I can finally rest on weekends, something I couldn't do before. Back then, even New Year's Day was just another work day for me. She took a deep breath, her voice carrying a mix of hope and exhaustion. Once my sisters are fully capable of managing things and Alonzo grows a little older, I'll be able to relax more. Your eldest brother seems much more at ease now than before, doesn't he? Tatum smiled at the mention of his family. As the sixth son of the Yorks, he had the freedom to pursue his passions without the burden of managing the family empire. His older brothers, all exceptional in their own right, had shouldered those responsibilities, leaving Tatum to follow his heart. I'm fortunate, he admitted. With 9 brothers, I'm not the eldest or the heir, so I'm free to do what I love. My brothers have always supported and protected me. I know how lucky I am. Their conversation trailed off as they continued their walk, the morning air crisp and calm. For Tatum, moments like this walking and talking with Elora were worth every effort he had made to be here. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4029. Chapter 4029. Tatum said, "My eldest brother is much more relaxed now. Actually, the person who truly helped him wasn't us, it was brother Josh. They've been close friends for years. After graduating, my eldest brother brought Josh into the York Corporation, and he's been his right-hand man ever since. Josh is incredibly capable." He continued, "My eldest brother is extremely efficient at work. In the past, people in the company struggled to keep up with his pace, so he had to slow down. But things changed after he married Serenity and started a family. Now, he spends more time at home and enjoys being with my sister-in-law. He's not as intense about work as he used to be. His social events have also decreased. In the old days, he wouldn't get home until late at night. Now, he makes sure he's home by 10 o'clock, no matter what. Not even the king himself could stop him. Even the business partners of York Corporation know this. When they want to discuss deals with my eldest brother, they make sure to handle it during the day. No one dares to drag it into the evening. Elora smiled warmly, her eyes glinting with a hint of envy. I didn't realize you were the sixth young master of the York family until recently. Once I found out, I started paying attention to your family. Your brothers are famous in Wiltspoon for how devoted they are to their wives. Tatum gave her a meaningful look and said, in our family, doting on our wives is a tradition. Elora chuckled. Any woman who marries into your family is incredibly lucky. Tatum, do you have someone special in your life? She asked casually. Tatum shook his head. Not yet. I'm not in a rush. I'm still young, and my eldest brother didn't get married until he was 30. Elora raised an eyebrow. You must have plenty of admirers, though. Tatum smiled. I do, but I don't give them a chance. Most give up after a while. I keep a pretty low profile in Wiltspoon, so not many people know I'm the sixth young master of the York family. He paused and added, there aren't many people with the surname York in Wiltspoon, but that doesn't mean there aren't any. Still, when people hear the name York, they automatically think of our family and the York Corporation. But with so many members in the family, unless I say I'm the sixth young master, they won't assume it's me. I prefer staying under the radar. I enjoy cooking, so I spend most of my time in the kitchen. I don't attend many banquets or parties, and I rarely interact with people outside of my family. As a result, not many have seen me in person, even if they've heard of me. Elora listened intently, her perception of the York family shifting. She had always known they were the wealthiest family in Wiltspoon, but now she understood their family values better. Loyalty and devotion to their wives seemed to be ingrained in the York men. If there was one thing people could criticize about the York family, it was their lack of daughters. For generations, no daughters had been born into the family. It was said that the York household resembled a Buddhist temple, full of sons but devoid of daughters. The York family's matriarch, the old lady, often expressed her deepest wish to hold a great-granddaughter. Tatum's sister-in-law, Serenity, was currently pregnant, and her due date was approaching. People speculated that her first child would likely be a son, continuing the family tradition. Elora shifted the conversation, testing the waters. Do you only plan to marry someone from Wiltspoon? Tatum shook his head. Not at all. My eldest and second sisters-in-law are from Wiltspoon, but my third and fourth sisters-in-law aren't. I'm not sure about my fifth sister-in-law, but I know she's not from here either. My grandmother always says it doesn't matter where the girl comes from, as long as she has good character and her family is okay with her marrying into our family. They don't insist we marry women from Wiltspoon. If the girl minds moving far away, we're allowed to make adjustments except for my eldest brother, who can't leave since he's the head of the family. The elders don't place restrictions on us. They just want us to be happy. Married at First Sight Chapter 4030. Chapter 4030. With the powerful York Corporation backing them, the York men command respect no matter where they go. Even if one of them were to become a live-in son-in-law, it's unlikely the woman or her family would dare to mistreat him because behind him stands the influence and strength of the York family. However, Tatum noted that none of his brothers had ever taken on such a role. Perhaps, he thought with a wry smile, he might be the first to set that precedent. Elora carried a heavy burden in her own family. Her younger brother, who was expected to eventually take over their family business, was still a child. It would be at least a decade before he was ready for such responsibility, meaning Elora would have to shoulder the leadership role for many years to come. When Tatum mentioned how open-minded his family was, Elora's eyes flickered with curiosity. Your elders sound incredibly progressive. Considering your family's wealth and stature, I doubt many families would dare to have you or your brothers visit them in the traditional sense. Tatum chuckled. Our elders are indeed very open-minded. Honestly, my parents, uncles, and aunts don't meddle in our personal lives. It's only my grandma who gets bored and nags us about settling down. She has the funniest way of scolding us, though. She calls us pigs. She says she's spent so much effort raising us pigs, but we're so useless we can't even dig up someone else's cabbage. According to her, I'm the biggest pig of all. Elora was momentarily stunned by his words but soon burst into laughter. Everyone says old Mrs. York has a mischievous streak, Elora said, still laughing. It seems the rumors are true. She must be a lot of fun to be around. She is, Tatum said with a fond smile. Grandma is easygoing and has a soft spot for girls. The moment any of my sisters-in-law comes home, my grandma only has eyes for them. We grandsons become invisible. If there's ever a disagreement between my brothers and their wives, Grandma always takes the wife's side. And if my brothers push her buttons, she doesn't hesitate to chase them around with her cane. Tatum's smile widened. Miss Elora, if you ever have the chance to visit Wiltspoon, let me know. I'll be your guide and take you to Wildridge Manor to meet my grandma. I guarantee she'll love you. Elora seemed genuinely touched by the invitation. Meeting the legendary old Mrs. York sounded intriguing. But she sighed softly. I don't know when I'll have the time. My schedule is packed with meetings and endless documents. On top of that, I frequently travel for business. It's rare for me to get a moment to breathe, let alone plan a trip. Her tone carried a trace of fatigue. Even during the New Year holidays, her time was spent at home with her family, catching up on the little rest she could get. Tatum's expression softened with concern. You should consider hiring more professional managers to help ease your workload. Running a company is tough, but you don't have to carry everything on your shoulders alone. Even at York Corporation, where we have countless senior managers, I, as the CEO, still have my hands full. But I make it a point to delegate when I can otherwise, I'd never have time to enjoy life. Elora managed a bitter smile. Maybe I was born to work hard. The Ormond family was incredibly wealthy, but Elora's situation was far from carefree. Her parents, though kind, lacked exceptional business acumen and were often unwell. As the eldest child, the responsibility of managing the family's empire had fallen squarely on her shoulders from a young age. While her cousins had the freedom to pursue their dreams and choose their own paths, Elora was given no such luxury. Her entire life had been about meeting expectations and excelling in every area to prepare for taking over the family business. Now, with a younger brother born 2 decades after her, there was some hope for the future. The boy was bright and capable, but it would be years before he reached an age where he could assume leadership. Elora often joked that by the time her brother was ready to take over, she would already be nearing retirement. Listening to her story, Tatum felt a pang of sympathy. He wished there was something he could do to lighten her load, but he knew offering to help her run the Ormond business wasn't realistic, not now, anyway. All he could do was admire her resilience and silently hope she found some relief. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4031. Chapter 4031. The Ormond family's history of misfortune had shaped their deep-seated caution, especially when it came to the idea of a son-in-law. Although there wasn't one yet, their apprehension was evident in how Elora's uncles were barred from having any say in the family business. The fear was simple: an outsider, even by marriage, might interfere too much or try to seize control of the Ormond fortune. This mistrust extended to the women as well. Elora's aunts were prohibited from meddling in the family's affairs out of concern that they might be influenced or exploited by their in-laws if they let their guard down. At 27, Elora hadn't even entertained the idea of dating. She understood all too well that bringing a partner into the picture would trigger suspicion not just from her elders but from herself as well. She had seen too many cautionary tales of men who married into wealthy families, used their wives' connections to amass fortunes, and then discarded them for younger, more glamorous women. Some had gone as far as seizing the family's wealth entirely, leaving devastation in their wake. Even with a match of equal status, Elora remained skeptical. The only scenario that felt safe was marrying into a family whose wealth surpassed hers and whose values were unimpeachable. So far, she hadn't met anyone who fit that description. Most of the men she encountered were transparent in their pursuit of the Ormond fortune. "I'll run two more laps, then head back and get ready for work," Elora said, breaking the silence. She didn't wait for Tatum's response, jogging ahead of him with swift determination. Tatum trailed her for a bit but decided to call it a morning after just one more lap. He needed to head back, shower, and prepare breakfast for Elora and her little brother, Alonso. About 20 minutes later, Elora returned to the main house. She passed through the kitchen, where she found Tatum busy preparing breakfast. Standing in the doorway for a brief moment, she observed him, then quietly turned and went upstairs. The house was still silent. Her parents were likely still asleep. Once in her room, Elora changed into fresh clothes, tidied herself up, applied some light makeup, and prepared for the day. Before heading downstairs, she made a stop at her brother's room. Alonso, still a child, wasn't allowed to lock his door at night. The adults in the family often checked on him in the middle of the night to make sure he hadn't kicked off his quilt. Even though the house was well heated, the family insisted on covering him up, just for peace of mind. Sometimes, this habit left Alonso waking up drenched in sweat. "Alonso, time to get up. You'll be late for school," Elora called as she walked into the room. The little figure under the blanket stirred but didn't emerge. Instead, he flipped over and pulled the quilt over his head, stubbornly resisting. "Come on, Alonso. It's the first day back after winter break. You can't stay home just because you had too much fun during vacation." Elora sighed as she moved closer to the bed. The school year had started earlier than usual, and most of the kids were still unwilling to leave the comfort of their homes. Parents everywhere were struggling to coax their children out of bed. She sat down at the edge of the bed and gently tugged at the blanket. "Alonso, I know you're awake. Get up, change into your uniform, wash up, and come down for breakfast. Tatum's already cooking. Don't you love his food the most?" A muffled voice emerged from under the covers. "Just 10 more minutes, sis. Let me sleep for 10 more minutes. I'll get up after that, I promise." Elora's tone softened, but her resolve stayed firm. "No 10 more minutes. We don't have time for that. Traffic is always a nightmare during rush hour, and if you're late, it'll ruin your day. Let's go get up now." Alonso let out a dramatic groan, but Elora knew her little brother well. She smiled and stayed by his side, ready to ensure he got moving. The morning rush was just beginning. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4032. Chapter 4032. Elora knew that letting Alonso sleep in would only set a bad precedent. If he got used to being late, it would become a habit, one she refused to let him develop. "Sis, I won't be late. When I get to school, there are still lots of classmates who aren't there yet. Just ask the driver to drive faster," Alonso suggested, pouting. Elora shook her head firmly. "Absolutely not. It's not safe to speed. It doesn't matter if your classmates are late, you can't be late. Now, get up. If you don't, I'm going to get mad." Alonso groaned but didn't move. With an amused smile, Elora gently pinched his cheeks. "Come on, buddy. It's just two more days of school, and then it's the weekend. You'll have 2 days to rest and do whatever you want. The holidays are always too short, Alonso muttered, reluctantly sitting up. It feels like winter break just started, and now school's already here. Summer vacation is way better, it's so much longer. Elora chuckled. 2 months of summer vacation, and you still think it's not long enough. No matter how much time you have, it's never enough for you, is it? She paused, softening her tone. You're still young, Alonso. Right now, I'm letting you enjoy your childhood. You've got a couple more years to play and have fun before you'll need to focus more on studying. Next week, though, we'll need to reschedule your enrichment classes. Compared to some of your classmates, you're taking very few right now. I'm not signing you up for too many because I want you to still enjoy being a kid, but we can't neglect them either. Alonso sighed dramatically. Sister, can I skip the enrichment classes for one more week? Just one more. Elora tapped his forehead lightly with her finger. What do you think? He groaned again, muttering under his breath, why do I have to learn so many things? Elora crouched down to meet his eyes. You like spending time with Tatum, right? You think he's amazing how he knows everything and can do anything. Alonzo's face lit up at the mention of Tatum. Brother Tatum is awesome. He knows everything and always has new games and ideas when he takes Angelo and me out to play. Sister, can you give Brother Tatum 2 days off? Let him take us to the playground. Please. Elora couldn't help but smile at his enthusiasm. She knew how much Alonso and Angelo adored Tatum. Anytime Tatum was free, the boys clung to him, eager for adventures. Unfortunately, Tatum spent most of his time assisting Elora, which made his free time rare. Well, Elora replied with a teasing smirk, we'll see. It depends. Alonso beamed, sensing hope. Now, hurry up and get dressed. I'll be waiting for you downstairs. Don't keep me waiting too long, she added, standing and smoothing out the blanket. As Alonso hopped off the bed, he asked, is Angelo awake yet? Elora glanced over her shoulder as she headed toward the door. He's probably up by now. He never sleeps in when there's breakfast made by Tatum. Angelo works hard to be the first one up so he can come over and eat. Alonso giggled. He loves Tatum's cooking more than anyone. With that, Alonso hurried to get ready. Elora left the room, confident he'd join her soon. Angelo, she thought, was likely already on his way to the breakfast table ready to savor Tatum's creations as usual. Married at First Sight Chapter 4033. Chapter 4033. As soon as Alonso heard Angelo might arrive, he picked up his pace. Before leaving his room, Elora reminded him, when you go downstairs, double check that you've got your school bag, books, and water bottle. Elora didn't make a habit of helping Alonso with such tasks. She firmly believed that he needed to take responsibility for his own belongings. Whenever their parents or the household staff tried to assist him, Elora would step in and firmly reprimand them. Their parents, who had Alonso later in life, were naturally inclined to spoil their only son. But Elora made sure to keep that in check, knowing that without discipline, Alonso would grow up pampered beyond repair. I know, sister. Alonso called back as he began brushing his teeth. Satisfied, Elora left his room and headed downstairs. On the first floor, she spotted Angelo jogging in with his small school bag strapped to his back. Why are you running? Be careful not to fall, Elora called out. Good morning, sister. Angelo greeted her cheerfully, slowing down and flashing her a bright smile. Elora gestured for him to come over. Come here. Angelo's grin faltered. Thinking she was about to scold him, he approached cautiously, his little face full of seriousness. Sister, I promise I'll walk tomorrow instead of running, he said earnestly. Then, as if pleading his case, he added, I was just worried I wouldn't have time for breakfast and might be late. Elora laughed softly and tousled his short hair. You have breakfast at kindergarten. You won't starve if you miss breakfast here. Both Angelo and Alonso typically had breakfast at school. Ever since Tatum started preparing their meals at home, however, the brothers would eat a light breakfast there just enough to satisfy them until morning exercises at school, when they'd eat again. Alonso, being an elementary school student, came home for lunch and dinner, as lower grade students didn't board at school. Angelo, still in kindergarten, stayed there for lunch but returned home in the evening. But Angelo had his priorities. If I skip breakfast here, I'll only get to eat Brother Tatum's cooking once a day, he lamented, holding up a single finger for emphasis. Elora couldn't help but smile at his dramatics. Tatum's cooking was a hit not just with the brothers but also with Angelo's classmates. Angelo would often bring Tatum snacks to kindergarten to share, basking in the admiration of his peers as they raved about how delicious everything was. Proudly, Angelo would tell them, "I get to eat the freshest and best snacks every day." Soon enough, word spread. Parents of Angelo's classmates began calling Elora's parents, asking where to buy these snacks that their children couldn't stop talking about. When they learned the treats were made by Elora's private chef, they could only sigh in envy. After all, Elora's household had a reputation for being particular, especially in the culinary department. Hearing about the buzz his snacks created, Tatum decided to turn it into an event. He promised Angelo he'd host a playdate on Saturday, making fresh, cartoon-shaped snacks for Angelo and his friends. Angelo, ever the negotiator, pleaded with Elora now. "Sister, Brother Tatum already promised to make snacks for us this Saturday. You won't say no, right? I already told my classmates, and they're all excited to come over." His big eyes shone with hope as he looked up at her. "Sister, I've got to save face." Elora chuckled. "We'll see, Angelo. First, let's focus on getting through the day." With that, she gently guided him toward the dining room, where the aroma of Tatum's cooking was already filling the air. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4034. Chapter 4034. Angelo feared that his strict older sister might refuse, leaving him in a very awkward position. After all, once Brother Tatum had promised him, the kids in his kindergarten suddenly became a lot friendlier. They clearly wanted a chance to taste the cartoon-shaped snacks that Brother Tatum was so good at making. But Brother Tatum was Elora's personal chef, and if she didn't approve, there wasn't much he could do about it. Elora, noticing Angelo's anxious expression, lightly pinched his cheek. "Since Tatum already gave you his word, he has to follow through. I'll be home this weekend, so I won't stop you from having your play date. But keep the noise down. If it gets too loud, take it to your house. I need my rest." Angelo's face lit up, a wide smile spreading across his cheeks. "Thank you, sister. I'll make sure we don't disturb you. I'll tell my friends." Then, as if a new thought crossed his mind, he asked, "Sister, is my brother still not up?" Elora smiled at his eagerness. She gently took Angelo's little school bag from him. "Alonso is still getting ready, but he'll be down soon. Wait for him here for a few minutes. We'll have breakfast together. I've got a client meeting today, and I'll be passing by your kindergarten. I'll take you to school." Angelo's eyes sparkled with excitement. "Really? That's amazing." Elora chuckled. "When have I ever lied to you?" With that, she walked to the sofa, set Angelo's school bag down, and sat comfortably. On the coffee table, the servants had already placed the day's freshly delivered newspapers. Her father had a habit of reading the news every morning, so the papers were always neatly arranged for him. Elora picked one up and began flipping through it. She wasn't much for idle waiting and preferred to keep herself occupied. Meanwhile, Angelo couldn't sit still. He quickly darted into the kitchen, where Tatum was finishing the breakfast preparations. Spotting the four plates neatly arranged, Angelo grinned and stepped forward. "Brother Tatum, let me help you." He eagerly grabbed his plate and carried it out to the dining table. Tatum had prepared four breakfasts, two for Alonzo and Angelo, which were tailored to children's tastes. They were fun, creative, and arranged in the shapes of small animals, making them both appealing and nutritious. Elora's breakfast, by contrast, was simple yet nutritious, designed to fit her busy lifestyle. Tatum's own meal reflected his roots. As a Wiltspoon native, he preferred a light breakfast white porridge paired with a couple of fried side dishes. No matter how long he stayed in Province X, he held on to his hometown habits, sticking to the same routine every day. As Tatum carried Elora and Alonzo's breakfasts out, he asked Angelo, "Did your brother come downstairs yet?" Angelo, already seated at the dining table, shook his head. "My sister said to wait for a few minutes, but I don't eat as fast as my big brother, so I'll start first." Tatum smiled, amused by the boy's practicality. The two younger Ormond brothers adored Tatum, and he had clearly earned their admiration and trust through his patience and kindness. All the time he'd spent bonding with the boys had been worth it, as their glowing praise was now a constant. Elora, for all her strictness, deeply loved her younger brothers, and it didn't escape her notice how well Tatum treated them. Her fondness for him grew stronger each day, and the rest of the Ormond family was following suit. Even the elders of the Ormond clan, known for their discerning standards, had warmed to Tatum. They weren't just impressed by his skills as a chef but also by the secret they had quietly uncovered. Tatum wasn't just a private chef. He was the sixth young master of the York family, the wealthiest family in Wiltspoon. The York family, with its vast fortune worth hundreds of billions, was a cornerstone of Wiltspoon's elite society. Their wealth spanned countless industries, and their legacy was rock solid. The family was also known for its strong traditions and values, producing generations of remarkable individuals. And Tatum, with his eight equally impressive brothers, was no exception. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4035. Chapter 4035. Tatum placed two plates of breakfast on the dining table, then walked over to Elora, who was still absorbed in the newspaper. "Miss, breakfast is ready," he said politely. I'm coming," came Alonzo's voice from the stairs. Elora glanced up just in time to see him sprinting down the stairs, dragging his small school bag behind him. "Alonzo," she called sharply. He froze mid-step, immediately straightened up, and slung his school bag onto his back. Then, with exaggerated care, he walked down the stairs one step at a time, trying not to draw any further scolding from his sister. It was clear the two little brothers shared similar mischievous streaks. "Good morning, sister." "Good morning, Brother Tatum," Alonzo greeted respectfully once he reached the dining area. Elora gave him a stern look. "If I catch you running down the stairs like that again, I'll punish you. No food made by Tatum for an entire week." Alonzo's eyes widened. "Sister, a week is way too long," he protested instinctively. Her expression didn't soften. "And now you're bargaining with me? That must mean you don't want to change your ways." "Fine, make it a month." Alonzo sighed dramatically. "All right, all right. I'll change, okay? I was just trying to save time, that's all. But sister, you're so good at bargaining, you always win." Elora's sharp glare silenced his attempt at humor. For a moment, Alonzo straightened up and looked serious. But then he stuck out his tongue playfully and darted behind Tatum for cover. Several of their sisters doted on Tatum, and Alonzo thought that siding with him was a clever move. If he ever got into trouble, maybe Tatum would plead on his behalf. Tatum raised an eyebrow at the scene, clearly unimpressed. "You think I have thick thighs to cling to, hey? Let me tell you something, I'm on your sister's side. If you're banking on me pleading for you, it'd be better to just fix those bad habits now." Alonzo peeked out from behind him, clearly unsure if Tatum was joking. Elora crossed her arms. "Go eat your breakfast and don't be late for school. I'll let you off this time, but if you pull another stunt like that, even Tatum won't be able to save you. He listens to me. Alonso glanced up at Tatum for confirmation. Tatum offered a sheepish smile. Your sister's right. I'm her private chef, after all. I follow her orders. You're lucky you even get to eat the food I make, and that's only because she allows it. For your own good, listen to her. Alonso groaned dramatically. Brother Tatum, you're afraid of her too. Elora set the newspaper aside. If you keep chatting here, don't come crying to me when you're late. As soon as the words left her mouth, Alonso turned and bolted toward the dining table. Elora shook her head. That kid is getting naughtier by the day. Tatum chuckled. Kids are like that. They love to play, but Alonso and Angelo are both good boys. They know where the line is. Sure, they make mistakes sometimes, but so do we. No one's perfect, not even adults. He genuinely admired the two young Ormond brothers. Despite being showered with love and privileges, they remained down to earth and well behaved. They reminded him a lot of Rowan when he was younger. Tatum smiled at the thought. Rowan, the youngest of the York siblings, had always been a handful. With eight accomplished older brothers above him, Rowan had been both spoiled and disciplined in equal measure. Growing up under their watchful eyes, he'd been mischievous but never crossed the line. Tatum turned to Elora. Miss, let's have breakfast. All right, Elora said as she rose from the sofa. She joined her two younger brothers at the dining table, where breakfast was laid out in front of them. Tatum, however, returned to the kitchen to eat his own meal. Elora had invited him to sit at the table with them, but Tatum politely declined. I'm just the chef, miss. The kitchen works just fine for me, he'd said. And with that, the siblings ate together while Tatum quietly enjoyed his breakfast in the kitchen. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4036. Chapter 4036. Tatum never forgot his role as Elora's personal chef, no matter how much respect or admiration he earned from the Ormond family. His professionalism and adherence to boundaries only deepened Elora's admiration for him. Despite being the sixth young master of the York family, one of the wealthiest families in Wiltspoon, Tatum had completely set aside his prestigious identity after becoming Elora's personal chef. He approached his job with focus and humility, leaving no room for arrogance or entitlement. When Tatum finished his breakfast, Elora and her two younger brothers had already finished theirs as well. He stepped out of the kitchen to clear the table. Angelo slid off his chair, a mischievous grin lighting up his face. Brother, guess what? Eldest sister said she's passing by our kindergarten today. She's taking me to school, he said, clearly enjoying the chance to boast. Alonso, his older brother, glanced at Elora with envy. However, she didn't spare him a glance as she said flatly, It's not on my way to the elementary school. Alonso muttered under his breath, Eldest sister barely ever takes me to school. Elora stood up and started walking out of the dining room. Angelo trailed after her, turning back briefly to stick his tongue out at Alonso before grabbing his small school bag and hurrying after her. Alonso scowled at the scene. What's there to brag about? She'll probably lecture you the whole way there, he called after them. Tatum chuckled as he picked up the plates. Want me to take you to school instead? Alonso shook his head. No thanks. As much as he liked Tatum, no one could replace Elora. Carrying his school bag, Alonso headed out on his own. Outside, the family's chauffeur and two bodyguards were already waiting to escort him to school. Tatum walked Alonso to the door, watched him climb into the car, and then returned inside. He headed straight for the kitchen to wash the dishes and prepare breakfast for Mr. and Mrs. Ormond. Technically, it wasn't part of his job description, but Mrs. Ormond was his potential future mother-in-law. Naturally, he wanted to leave a good impression, winning her over with small gestures of care and effort. The better she thought of him, the less opposition he would face in pursuing a future with Elora. Tatum wasn't worried about whether he met the Ormond family's standards, he certainly did. His only concern was the physical distance between their lives. He feared the Ormonds might be reluctant to let Elorum marry into a family far away. For now, though, life with the Ormonds was calm and uneventful. And in that calm, Tatum carefully, patiently, nurtured his relationship with Elora. Far away in Huonaville, Evan York wasn't enjoying the same peace. At the moment, Evan stood outside the headquarters of the Dew Group. It was business hours, and only a handful of employees passed in and out of the building, either arriving late or heading out on assignments. Adelie, the head of Dew Group, hadn't bothered to meet Evan herself. Instead, she had instructed the security guard on duty to hand him a large bag of freshly cleaned peppers. To add insult to injury, her live streaming team had already set up the equipment, ready to broadcast Evan's humiliating challenge. All Evan had to do now was take his seat, start eating the peppers, and endure the consequences. As the security guard handed him the bag, he asked cheerfully, "Mr. York, would you like a basket? It might be easier for you to eat if we pour them out." Evan glanced at him, trying to suppress his irritation. "You have a basket." The guard smiled wider. "Of course, Mr. York. We've got one ready for you. Let me grab it." Adelie's petty genius was on full display. Everyone at Dew Group knew their president could hold a grudge like no other. She wasn't going to let Evan get away with the trouble he'd caused. Rumor had it that Evan York couldn't handle spicy food. He had a famously light palate back in Wiltspoon. But here he was, cornered into eating peppers live on camera, all to appease Adelie and her sense of justice. Why? Because of Abby. Evan had hurt Abby, Dew Group's vice president, in the past. Now that he wanted to reconcile with her, Adelie wasn't going to make it easy. She demanded that Evan earn his way back into Abby's good graces, starting with this humiliating punishment.